Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers consultant here in DCU Careers Service. As part of our spotlight on the DCU Virtual Careers Fair, which takes place on the 15th of October, we're meeting all the employers that are taking the virtual stands. So joining me today is Denise Tully, who is Head of Marketing, is a Marketing and HR Manager with PKF, and her colleague Keith Doyle, who is Director of Audit with PKF. So first of all, you're both very, very welcome to this podcast episode, and we really appreciate you taking the time to, I suppose, discuss what's going on with PKF and the roles that you have on offer.
Many thanks, Siobhan. Delighted for the opportunity.
Brilliant. No, I really, really appreciate the time, and we know already the podcast episodes are making a difference to our students' understanding of, you know, their career options, so we really appreciate that. So listen, Denise, I'm going to start off with yourself. Could you possibly tell us a little bit about PKF, and what does your organisation do, and what is it all about?
Yeah, so thanks for having us, Siobhan. At PKF, we offer a full range of accounting and business advisory services. So we're a full service firm with multiple departments. So we service audit, taxation, corporate finance, advisory and restructuring, business services, and payroll. So it gives our trainees and staff a great range of, I suppose, a great insight into the industry, and we have a great mix of clients as well. And PKF is the Irish member firm of PKF International, which is the leading global network, and it operates in over 150 countries. So with that, we would get quite a lot of international clients, and we service, I suppose, a broad range of both domestic and international clients of varying sizes. And so that's PKF. We're based in Harold's Cross in Dublin, just outside the city centre, and at the moment we're working a mix of remote working, and we do have some people based in the offices fully COVID compliant, so that's where we're at.
Brilliant. No, so that's great. And what does PKF stand for?
Panel Kerr Foster. It was originally set up as a network in the States. It was once a one firm, three man band firm, many moons ago, who then established the international network, which is a great resource for us, particularly me in marketing and HR. We would do a lot of work with the PKF firms, particularly in the UK and a lot in the States. So between referral work, we would get a lot of jobs out of it. And also it's a great resource for our staff and to meet like-minded people. And for me in a smaller department, I get to idea share with colleagues across the globe.
Brilliant. That's great, Denise. That really gives a bit of an insight, because that's one of the things that we are finding, that there is many, you know, what we perceive to be a national or an Irish firm, and then we realise when you do a little bit of digging, they're actually part of a global network. And that means then that, you know, students can potentially see themselves of having both a very fulfilling career working and living in Ireland, but part of a bigger global international environment. So maybe adds a different dynamic to the career prospects as well.
Correct. And it's just it's a good opportunity to see how things are done at a different level, and I suppose gives us access to go for larger tenders and bigger jobs across a number of countries, which is really interesting, particularly for trainees to be involved in.
Brilliant. I might bring yourself in, Keith, there. Like Denise mentioned the golden word there, trainees. So can you bring us through the streams for the trainees and the whole process?
Thanks, Siobhan. Yeah, so for our 2021 graduate recruitment, we're looking for, as Denise referred to our service lines, we're looking for graduates across audit, taxation, insolvency, and restructuring, corporate finance, and our advisory and business services line. So our application is open to all of those lines. And within each graduate program, I suppose, each contains a variety. So you'll experience different sectors, different industries, and different service offerings within those individual training programs. And you'll also have responsibility. You'll be given responsibility from day one in dealing with clients. As part of the buddy mentoring program, you'll be assigned to a buddy or a mentor who will work alongside you for your initial intake. you'll have the opportunity, we refer to the international aspect of PKF, you'll have an opportunity to work on our international based clients, both in the UK and Europe, and also in the US, where we'd have a number of clients, both from an audit and taxation perspective mainly, that would deal with an international. So you get exposure to that from, I suppose, your initial training intake and jobs that would be arising during the year. From training perspective, not just would you obviously have your qualification, be it chartered ACCA or CPA or taxation with the Irish Taxation Institute, you'd also have our in-house training programme, which would be both classroom-based and online, where we've accessed also the PKF International and UK and I PKF 365 tools that are available to us. That's to try and give you what we see as a well-rounded training program that would lead you to a qualification and around the qualification with a broad experience of industries and sectors and exposures, not just to Irish companies, but also international with our PKF international exposure. So that's our program. We're looking to recruit for. We're looking for, I suppose, a wide range of individuals coming from a wide range of backgrounds, particularly in the current climate where we have Brexit, we have COVID and the challenges it's facing from a remote access point of view, dealing with clients and remote working from the office. There's the technology aspect that's probably been challenged. So we're looking for new challenges that are coming on board, and I suppose a new fresh outlook on things from a new intake coming on board to supplement our existing trainee program that are there from previous years.
Brilliant. So just something that you said earlier on, and I just might pick you up on it there if you don't mind. You mentioned all the different professional bodies there, you know, like ACA, ACCA, so and CPA. So are you open then to trainees, you know, going down a variety of routes then, or what, you know, or do you have a preferred training route there?
Yes, we're quite open, Siobhan. We try and take an intake that covers a number of, if you like, bodies from a training. So we're recognised with ACCA, Chartered Accountants Ireland, and then the Irish Taxation Institute, and also the CPA. So I suppose it's really up to the student themselves, having looked at their qualification coming through, I suppose how they fit into their exams, exemptions, and what's coming through from how they're qualified, what might be best suited to them. And we're very accommodating as to what body they wish to train for. And we discuss that openly as part of our process, our graduate intake and the application process. It's one of the areas that we cover off.
Brilliant. And you mentioned technology there, and I suppose students, ourselves, the whole world, you know, especially any kind of Western style economy, has had to go to remote working. And we've definitely, I suppose, you know, I think we've adapted quite well. And I think there might have been just a timing there that, you know, certainly there was technology available and things like that. So you mentioned obviously that agility and that openness to attitude, you know, that to deal with things as, you know, as circumstances change in the work environment, you know, positively or negatively, that can-do attitude. But I suppose I'm very curious about the role of technology within audit and tax and advisory. You know, we are in the fourth industrial revolution now, the role of AI. So I just want to maybe tap into your own felt sense of that, of where you are at the moment with technology and the role of technology in the work that you do, and how you think it will, you know, you don't have to do a mystic meg on it, but, you know, how you think the impact of that will be in the future.
And it's not just the future, Siobhan. I suppose we'd moved to a paperless, audit and taxation mainly, the two drivers, main service lines. We'd moved to a paperless floor as such. So we'd already made that move pre-COVID. So we then supplemented that with cloud-based, cloud-based platforms. So from an audit perspective, we have paperless audit. So we are sort of technology focused. There's a big push on at the moment, which students will see in the courses that they're covering, not just in college, but also in the training programs that they'll sign up to as part of the trainee program, with whether it be chartered ACCA, from a data analytical point of view. So from an audit perspective, we're moving along the lines of focus on data analytics into the audit approach and trying to give a value add to clients. In relation to taxation, similarly, we're using data analytics as part of, similar to revenue perspectives, where they would use that analytics from a revenue audit. We're seeing this for anything from a client perspective that we can do from a value add, from a taxation perspective as well. In relation to business services and advisory, Again, we're looking to technologies such as zero receipt banking, where we've gone to cloud-based scanning and paperless processing, where the old-style manual files and data inputting has been reduced significantly. Not for all clients, but for a majority of clients. And we're moving along at a pace on that over the last probably 12 months, and now with COVID even more so. So there's a lot happening in that. And we're looking for new individuals coming aboard with fresh ideas that might see different ways of doing things from their own experiences in life, whether it be external to their training programs or as part of their university that they've seen to supplement the areas that we're pushing on. So again, we're quite open-minded to that. We're looking for that in innovators coming through with fresh ideas that can look to do things differently with us. So it is a big area from a technology and recruitment point of view that we're looking for in the trainees coming through, that we're asking for their input in how we do things.
And I suppose an openness to learn, use technology, I suppose, nowadays is critical, but also to be curious about it, I suppose, as well. It wouldn't be enough to be just an end user.
Yes, absolutely, Siobhan. It needs to be, I suppose, we're all creatures of habit, and sometimes change in technology, we can be a little resistant without knowing the full benefits to us. But it's that open-mindedness and not having the fear to try something new and to learn and to be eager and hunger. And I suppose not just in technology, but in any sort of training program, that's the type of individual we'd be looking for, with a hunger and a drive to take on board new challenges and fresh challenges, and not to be afraid to be the one to lead the way in it. Whether it be at a year one training level, through your qualification, and once you come through and qualified, that we'd hope it might be something that you might specialise as part of each of the training programs, that you might become our champion or our super user in a particular area. No different than we have in our current intake. We have certain areas and certain individuals that we'd see as super users in a particular technology, and obviously we need succession planning in that, and we're conscious of that in our trainee programs that come through.
Brilliant. And I suppose is that you mentioned earlier, like in, you know, about Brexit and, you know, the changes in the world and stuff like that. So just, you know, when we have you on, you know, we have a wider conversation about, you know, the concerns of businesses and stuff like that in relation to Brexit. You know, where are we at with it? Because I suppose we do know it's there, but I suppose it's probably getting a bit squashed out of the conversation because there's so much other things happening in the world at the moment.
Yes, I think from a Brexit perspective, we're looking at the end of the year now. I'd still say, Siobhan, there's an element of uncertainty. We'd have a lot of interaction, Denise referred to earlier, in particular our UK and I network group in the PKF. There's monthly and quarterly meetings at the various service levels, be it audit, taxation, corporate finance, to identify, I suppose, the uncertainties for clients in different areas and different sectors, and what publications we can put out to assist them. And then to be there for any questions that they may have, be it here from an Irish perspective, or on the flip side, in the UK perspective, our clients may have an exposure on the UK side that they need to address. So there is still an element, I would say, of uncertainty. Yes, with COVID, it's probably been pushed to the back burner. We're finding in the last probably month or so, it's sort of starting to resurface from an audit and taxation point of view, within the media, not just within our own, I suppose, professional services in the greater media. So it's something that I think you'll see a lot more in the media coming through, and it'll come back more, a lot more on people's agendas, more so in the next couple of months, I think, leading up to Christmas.
Do you know what? I just thinking there, you know, when you were talking about the Brexit, I said, God, you know, I'm envious of having that normal problem of Brexit. I don't know how anyone else feels. It just seems like such a totally normal problem to have. You know, when you're dealing with COVID, it just seems such a reasonable problem to have now, isn't it? So hopefully we'll get through that. And we thought that was the worst thing that could actually happen to us. Just want to talk about the, I suppose, the application process, Denise. You might come in there on that. So what is the application process? And I suppose a little bit of a chat about the selection process there as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Siobhan. So we would ask for students to send us in their CV accompanied by a cover letter. So the cover letter is really helpful for us to get an idea as to why someone is choosing to go down the accountancy route. It's a big commitment to go and take on a training contract 3.5 years after doing your degree. So we really like to get an insight into why someone has chosen this route. We also really like for people to have an idea of what they would like to do with regards to ACA, ACCA or CPA. It's very helpful at interview to know that information, and I think it shows for a student that they are more interested and they are keen and that is what they want, that they've done their research. And also if they have any exemptions from their college course, it's important for them to know that as well. I think these things, when asked in an interview, it just shows the quality of applicant if they've done their research, and it gives us a better idea of their commitment to the journey ahead. It's an excellent qualification to finish out with. So it's just important for us to know that people are interested in the, I suppose, the contract and the process itself. So after we get the CV and the cover letter in, we do this internal selection. I would do the first round review on CVs and send through what I would recommend to the hiring managers of the various departments. So whether we're recruiting for audit, tax, business services, or corporate finance, or also insolvency, I would review the applicants as I would see fit. Sometimes we advertise for the specific departments, or sometimes we may just advertise for a training accountant, and upon review of their application, we decide maybe what department we feel they'd be best suited to. And so then after that, we go through a two-round stage interview.
Brilliant. So at the moment, I suppose you're doing online interviews, is it? Or
yeah, so that was a big learning curve for me this year. It was very different, but in fairness, it's worked really well. We use Teams largely from the office for our day-to-day. So we've been using Teams, and I think out of all the applicants that I sent invites to, maybe only 10% couldn't get the video to work. And look, these things happen, and we're very much, I suppose, you have to be open to things not working out as well. The online interviews, I think, has actually been a real learning curve for us as well with regard to time. Maybe particularly for first round of interviews, it's something we'll keep on post-COVID when it ever goes away. There's a lot of time to be saved for both us and for the candidates. A lot of the time our candidates aren't always from Dublin. They would lose a lot of time and, I suppose, incur a lot of expense in having to come up to Dublin for an interview. So definitely for us, I think the online interview process is very beneficial.
Yeah, I think we started to see a trend in recent years, say last 4 or 5 years for sure, of online interviews, certainly for, the first cut, we'll call it. But definitely, I think it's online interviews all the way at the moment.
And it was a big learning curve for us on it, sure. Because you say you'll do it and you'll hope and you're like, oh, I wonder. Yeah. And when I suppose the technology was forced upon us all, it just worked really well. Yeah. And even for ourselves, even if two people on an interview, both working from home, it was just much easier for diary management as well.
Yeah, definitely people are finding it efficient. Now, any interview is always a little bit daunting, so an online interview isn't any worse or any better. There's always a little bit of nerves associated for the candidates anyway.
And I'm sure for the candidate, I suppose they're now incurring they're losing control, the element of control of being early for an interview for a candidate that is, that is committed and would be that person that shows up 15 or 20 minutes early, and they're very much in control of how it's going to go or how their first impression goes. Whereas I think the loss of control when you're putting your hands in technology can be quite daunting for people. But I suppose just for people to be aware, both sides are going through this, so the company is learning as much as you are, so don't let any of those things faze you if you don't get through straight away or connection breaks. That's okay,
these
things are normal.
And I always try and encourage people to think, well, your interviewers are potential colleagues, so therefore you'd like to think potential colleagues would be kind, and be understanding. But obviously it's up to you to be professional and be ready and do all the double checks and, not lastminute.com and, logging on and hoping everything would be all right on the night. So, there is a little 100%. Bit of, there is a little bit of kind of give and take, I suppose, like a lot of things in life there with that. So the general process, it's a CV and cover letter, isn't that right? It's definitely possibly two online interviews, or certainly one online interview, and if things change, it'll be a socially distant face-to-face or whatever is appropriate at the time when the second interviews would be happening. And then there obviously be conditional offers then, because our students are in final year, and would it be a start date of next September is kind of the guideline, is it? Or
yeah, it would be. And then we do try and start our tax trainees a bit earlier if we can, depending on people's summer availability. I suppose we've done it traditionally if people weren't necessarily going away, we have been keen, particularly with tax, to get the students in by June or July. They would be working a lot on the income tax deadline. So it's great to have those trainees really embedded into the company, so they have a good idea of what's going on. They've kind of gone through their onboarding training, and they're helping us to get through the income tax deadline. And so we will try and start them early.
And then isn't October budget season again as well? So you'd want to be kind of get the induction over before you have to be contemplating that.
And just also, Siobhan, what we'd have for any students, I suppose, that are looking to come on board, possible internships as well during the year, depending on their course and, I suppose, their content during the year. And I suppose the way things have gone with COVID and the number of hours they're working, there is a possible possibility of doing some work experience during the year or an internship that will give you a feel for PKF and what we're about across the different service lines. So that's also an opportunity for students also to consider.
Yeah, it is. And in fairness, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Keith. Like, I suppose for a lot of students is that, you know, we obviously have a very successful inter-programme here in DCU. And for the most part, you know, during COVID, the employers that could retain, you know, and remote work their interns, they did. But obviously, some people just genuinely couldn't. It was the nature of the role, you know, and everything like that. But, you know, for students nowadays, it's a bit trickier to get, you know, work experience, you know, and even in the hospitality, retail, you might get a bit, but hospitality, obviously, at the moment is closed again. So, you know, it is very, very difficult, you know, for students to I suppose, build content on their CV. So, so I think that'd be great if there was opportunities like that. And do you do a formal in-summer internship? I had forgotten to ask you that, or is it just...
We do, Siobhan, yes. Yeah. We do. We do have an internship where we have a number of current trainees that would have come in by way of an internship over a number of years, whether it be year one, and then come in as a trainee the following year, or over a two-year internship and then come through. And we found that to work quite well, in that they get... I said it's as important for the student as it is for ourselves. It's an investment on both sides. So it's an investment in the student in us as much as it is in ourselves into the student. So it's important that they get a feel for what they'll do day to day, and they have an understanding of, I suppose, the company, PKF, they're coming on board with, the culture and the type of people they'll be dealing with, and then a feel for the service lines. They get exposure to a number of service lines, be it audit, tax, corporate finance, insolvency, and business service. We try and give them a feel for each during their period with us.
Actually, that's something I just want to, I suppose, you know, as the size of the company that you are, obviously when the trainees are working with yourselves, they kind of work across a number of different industries and types of firms rather than a standalone sector. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, so for example, if a trainee comes in into audit, they'll be audited for their training programme. So for the three and a half year training programme, they'll work in audit. But within audit, they'll have exposure to a number of different industries and sectors across the audit scope from, and a number of different clients. But I suppose you're leading me on to an area following on from the application process, Yvonne, a number of tips. I suppose there are things that I would have seen through my experience of dealing with students and trainees coming in from the application process, is, I suppose, to be clear in their own mind what they want and where they want to go. So to give them some thought into that. So to, as I say, find your fit. So give some thought as to what might work best for you, as opposed to let the firm and PKF guide you into an area. So give some thought into the course that you're doing, what you like from the content of the course that might suit what the type of person that you are. Some might be more suited to tax, or others more suited to audit, or vice versa, and across the other income, so the other service lines. So to give some thought to that. That can also help, as Denise discussed earlier in relation to the application process, that can help the student be guided into where might be suited best for them. I suppose other areas, I suppose from a tips point of view, would ask questions. As I said, it's an investment of the student in the firm as much as PKF into the student. So not to be afraid to ask questions as part of the interview. It's a two-way process. So we'd like to see students engaging and asking questions. As I always say, there's never a silly question, so not to be afraid to ask a question. I suppose we're looking for a new generation of talent to bring new life into our firm and new ways of thinking. So we're looking for that to come across in the interview process. So to be open and to show your enthusiasm for what you want to do, and I suppose a hunger and drive for where you want to go. And that might be as simple as being prepared, knowing a bit about PKF and what we do and having questions around that. And then I suppose Denise referred to earlier, just I've done some research into the qualification that you're looking to pursue. Yes, we're there to help guide you in that if need be, but to have done your research and be conscious of the different qualifications that are out there, be it chartered, be it ACCA, CPA, the exams that are involved and what exemptions you'll have. And we can also guide you as part of the process and the application process and that. But to have done some research on that, again, that all comes across really well in any interview process, not just with PKF, but as part of any process going into life itself. So there's some areas, I suppose, tips, Siobhan, around the application Brilliant. Process that we'd see Brilliant. Would be of help.
Yourself, Denise, you've probably read many a CV at this stage and and maybe got through some of the first line interviews and so on and so forth. So for anyone thinking about applying to yourselves, you know, and things that you've noticed on applications, either ones that you kind of felt, you know, that's good examples of, you know, people communicating very clearly, or, you know, maybe not so much communicating very clearly, what would be your top tips there?
I suppose a good summary at the top of your CV, an introduction as to, I suppose, why you're looking for a career in accountancy. Also, I think people, it's amazing to see how many people still are formatting CVs incorrectly or referring to your company name, whether in a cover letter or an introductional email, by the wrong name. So things like that, it's small things, but they're important. And I suppose, yeah, and I think another thing a lot of people don't do is they maybe mention that they did their Leaving Cert and don't go into detail, and particularly if you're looking for a role in accountancy and as a for a training contract, I'd be sure to list your Leaving Certificate maths and accountancy results if you did them. Recently I did an interview with someone and he hadn't written down Leaving Cert at all, so which was fine, he'd done his degree, but when I asked, he'd gotten a very good result in accountancy in the Leaving Cert and just didn't think it was important to put it down. So I think things like that kind of show us that you know, you have a good grounding and understanding of accountancy, particularly the way accountancy is taught for the Leaving Cert. It does really help people when they go to do their professional exams,
because it is back to basics. You kind of learn it, as the saying goes, you learn it the manual way. So, you know, and once it's gone computerized, it's only a computerized version of the manual, really, isn't it?
That's it. And it's not that we don't take up, like, absolutely, we have trainees that I know, a lot of schools unfortunately don't offer accounting to Leaving Cert students, and we're, you know, we're absolutely open to both, but it's just for people who have done it, there's no need to sell yourself short. You should certainly be telling people that, and the same goes to anyone who's not including your Leaving Cert information on it. I think it is still important if you're going straight from college into a training role.
Brilliant.
And one other area, Siobhan, I suppose that when I look at CVs, I'm always interested in, it's important to have a work-life balance.
Excellent.
So I always look to the interests to see what interests do students and trainees have outside of work and college. What else are they interested in? It's always good to get a feel for that, because as I said, work-life balance is important. Probably more so now in COVID than ever. Not that you can travel very far currently or do a whole lot, but it's important to have an outlet from college and from work. So it's always good to see that on the CV to get a feel for what interest people have outside of it. So that'd be another area to include.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because as I always say, they're not hiring a robot, they're hiring a human being. And you know, and it's really, really important. It's the whole person that's coming to work, rightly or wrongly. It's the whole person that arrives. So you know, it is really, really important. Listen, thank you so much for today. I think we've kind of definitely learned an awful lot more about PKF. You've given us great insight into the particular dynamic of, you know, how trainees can progress through PKF, the type of client you have, you know, what your values are as a company, and you've really identified, you know, certain things that, you know, is really useful for our students to know about you, and also, you know, how they can actually progress very successfully with their careers. So thank you so much for that.
No problem.
Thank you very much, Siobhan. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome.